Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about competent employees who take on too much work. I already can feel the guilt of many people out there. We'll start with a question from someone who is so busy helping others at work that he has no time for his own projects. Mm-hmm. During the second part of our podcast, we'll address managers who have employees who take on too much.
Yeah, this subject is so interesting. It's so common for super competent employees to end up burning out because they take on too much.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I hope more people will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, what's our question?
I pride myself on being a hard worker and a team player who tries to help out wherever I can. My boss constantly comes to me with pet projects because he knows that I will get them done. I also seem to attract requests from my colleagues for assistance when they are overwhelmed. The result is I'm so busy helping others that I have no time for myself. I find myself working late nights and weekends on other people's projects instead of my own. What can I do to change the situation?
Such a good question. I love this. So this is about saying no.
Yes.
That's N-O, which is a complete sentence.
Yes.
And setting healthy boundaries for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I relate to this. You do too, right?
Totally.
Do you, Logan?
1,000%.
Yeah. So this happens to a lot of people. And, you know, look, people trust you. They respect you. You know, when they know the work is going to be done well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's a compliment. So If you're saying yes all the time and you're thinking, well, I need them to like me, that's why you're saying yes. Get over that, because they do like you.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know that.
Clearly.
So, you know, you have to look at what is your motivation? You know, what is it? Well, actually, you should talk about that. Like, where are you coming from that you feel the need to take on more than, you know, on more work that's going to burn you out? Like, where are you coming from with that?
Yeah, I think it can be a fairly complex set of motivations. Mm-hmm. Like, you may enjoy helping. Like, you may actually enjoy helping people solve problems. You may be a fix-it kind of person. You may think, no, since we're saying you are competent, you may be someone who quickly is able to resolve situations for others.
Right.
And you derive some satisfaction for that. Mm-hmm. So that's one element. The other element is that you may be, we were talking earlier about usually these are nice people. Mm. And part of being a nice person is that you may be very other oriented. In other words, you're able to tap into other people's needs more easily than you tap into your own. And so it's easy to kind of give away your resources, your energy, your time, because you can feel for them, literally. Like, you see the distress on that coworker who's overwhelmed, or your boss comes and is like, please help me out with this. And you feel for them and want to be of service, basically.
Right.
And then the third is the likability thing I don't think it's just likability. I think it's the fear of disappointing that you don't, it's very uncomfortable to disappoint. So if you relate to those, and we were saying that we've seen this, we've experienced it ourselves, we've seen it in all age groups. It's kind of a lifelong journey, so to speak. The things that I think you have to do, and Kathy, you referenced this about the sort of setting a cap, besides saying no, if you do a favor, building limits around it.
Right.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
You could say, I have a half hour for you at the end of the day, or I could do this one thing, but I can't do these other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to sort of set caps. That would be one thing. And the other thing that you have to do besides saying no is schedule time for yourself. Because I think what happens very often is that you don't put your projects in your calendar. And so then something else can just move in immediately and take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I'm doing with a couple of clients is I'm making sure that they're clear on their own personal goals. So, yeah. Okay, you know, you've got your job, you have your family, and then you have these other extra projects, whether you're, you know, you're taking on a big project or you're learning a hobby, you're learning language, you know, whatever it is, your goals. And then every time you're asked to do something, you have to then look at, well, where would this fit in based on my goals?
Yeah.
And it gets easier to make that decision. But the hard part, I think, for people is to say no.
That's right.
That's
right. You know, is to just say, I wish I could, but I really can't. Because then they'll keep going, well, you know, let me know when you can. Is next week better? You know, because people learn to lean on competent people.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, just because they can't get out of their own way, I mean, they're going to have to find somebody else.
Right. Well, there is another thing in there. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think that for those people who have a hard time saying no, they also feel as if they have to be super performers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So to say no, I was just thinking, like, one of the things you could say is, I just don't have the bandwidth for this right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying, I don't want to do your thing. It's really just admitting your limitations. Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be scary.
It's very scary to say no and disappoint.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially when you've, you know, made yourself into the hero. You've made yourself into the person that is always there.
Yes.
Right.
But that you know, at a certain point, everybody has to figure this piece out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've had so many clients that have had this.
Right. Well, and then I keep referring to a conversation we were having before the recording, but you said beautifully that this tends to be then someone who overpromises and ultimately ends up disappointing people.
Right. So if you don't set the limit and you say, sure, I'll take that on, then you get resentful. And then by the time you give it back to them, you either disappoint them or you just couldn't do it. You failed.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's best to learn how to set these healthy limits for yourself by understanding what limits you want to put, because, you know, it's okay to have some downtime.
Yes.
You don't have to be the busiest person on the planet. And, you know, you should have your own personal goals, you know, and they usually do not include taking care of other people that really could get better at what they do.
Yeah.
And taking on an occasional project because it's the right thing to do. You want to have the bandwidth for that.
Yes.
Because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's just a skill of learning to understand your own value, how to value your own time, and then making sure that people do, you know, you don't let an abuser get in. I mean, that may be not a good word, but it is
a user.
Sort of a user. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll settle on that.
We could be an abuser or a user. Either one could be. Yeah. I think that that's the other thing, is that people can, you know, smell a giver.
Well, the takers know the givers. Yeah.
So that's part of the challenge. And I will also say that as you say no, we've mentioned this before, but usually whenever you start to set a new boundary, you will be tested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to feel uncomfortable to begin with. And then let's say a colleague who says, can you help me on this? And you say, I'm sorry, I can't. And then they're like, oh, please, you're so good at this. You're the only one who can help, you know, something like that. You've got to be ready to say, I'm sorry, again, twice.
Right. Be firm. Be assertive in your
limits. And they may get temporarily mad at you. You have to start to get comfortable with that. You know, it's not going to feel good at the beginning because it's not a natural habit yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But trust us, this really works. When you begin to take care of yourself and not others that have to learn how to take care of themselves, you will be tremendously relieved and you'll be able to achieve your own goals. You'll have the time to achieve your own goals. Mm-hmm. All right, so now let's consider this issue from the manager's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a star employee who ends up with the bulk of the work in your department? And by the way, everybody does. Everybody has that employee that ends up with the bulk of the work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do when you see this? Now, hopefully you're the kind of manager that is not making it worse.
Yeah.
And not saying, okay, well, I only have really one great person, so I'm going to dump everything on them.
Right.
And they eventually quit. Yeah. But, you know, making sure that you train everyone to do their work. Mm-hmm. What? That doesn't always happen.
What I was going to say is that I think so many managers are happy to have a superstar because they don't want to confront the lower performers.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to have to write them up or give them a warning or give them, you know, this is how you're failing to meet my expectations. They don't want to have those conversations.
Right.
And, you know, realistically, if you have a department but only one person is doing the work, then you don't need your department. Like, that's not, you know, people are getting paid to do what?
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. You know, you have to grow up as a manager and understand that good people that are overused will leave.
Mm-hmm.
They won't feel taken care of.
No.
And I have that happening with somebody right now. And it was actually her therapist, you know, when she said, oh, I'm afraid to tell my boss I'm leaving. She said, really, the woman who has overused you and made sure that you never had any vacations or any downtime because you were the only one who could do the work, that person?
Wow.
And I thought that was a good therapist. I didn't get that therapist's name that pointed it out to her. I would not have said it that way, but pointed that out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, and it's true, and this is a really good worker. So hopefully you identify that in somebody and help them set boundaries and help them say to somebody maybe in the department, you know, I can't do the work, but I can show you how I do it.
I actually know of a manager who said to his employee, I do not want you in the trenches. Like made it very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was helpful because then the person was able to say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in the trenches.
You don't want me in the, you don't want me in those trenches? And he's like, no, I want you to be pursuing executive level activities.
Right. Yes.
And that was very helpful.
Sure. Mm. Yeah. And so that's a great manager, and hopefully the manager is helping the others grow where they need to grow.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, you can also, let's go to the manager now. It's important that you identify who these people are that are carrying the weight for others and help them not do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and one other caveat, you may be one of these people as well. And so if you're not setting boundaries, as we like to say, you need to show, don't tell.
Oh, yeah. Set an example.
You do. You need to demonstrate what it looks like to set boundaries and say no, and then give that person permission to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for this podcast. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2. Also follow us on Instagram at MyCrazyOffice.
If you want to receive our podcast email, text us at 228-28 and type in MyCrazyOffice. That's all one word, MyCrazyOffice at 228-28.
Finally, don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.